Manny did his PhD at the Indian Institute of Science. He then went on to do his postdoc with Bob Weinberg at MIT, where he had a very successful series of papers. He's currently associate professor and co-director of the Metastasis Research Center at MD Anderson. Today he's going to talk to us about EMT and cancer stem cell biology.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Luke, for inviting me as well as giving him an opportunity to learn more from this series of presentation. Most of the talks until now, they've been talking about regenerative medicine and the role of small molecules or identifying small molecules for regenerative medicine. But I'm going to switch gear here a little bit on cancer. And so for the sake of introduction, I'm going to just introduce the EMT concept and then go on to see the, some of the work, what we are doing in identifying small molecules, which we could use to target cancer stem cells. So here's a slide to show that the cancer incidence right now, you know, it's going up, but cancer-related mortality is going down. This is over a period of time. And if you look at expected cancer-related mortality, this is, again, in time and years, and you see that the expected is in red, but the actual is in blue, indicating that the number of cancer-related death has been decreasing over a period of time, but cancer incidence is going up. Overall, there's more than a million life has been saved or helped over a period of time, and this is all credit goes to better cancer prevention, improved diagnosis, better understanding of the disease, as well as development of number of targeted therapeutics. So again, this slide shows in 2022, we expect to see approximately 18 million people living with the cancer. So these patients do need treatment for preventing development of therapy resistance as well as metastasis. So here, a distribution of different type of cancer. This is all the data coming from American Cancer Society. So there's quite a high number of percentage of patients are going to be breast cancer and prostate cancer in men. And again, it's going to be approximately the median age is going to be 66. But the important thing here I want to show is that all these patients, most of them are carcinoma patients, and majority of them are going to eventually develop metastasis, therapy resistance, and tumor relapse. So if you look at cancer metastasis as a process, and you have primary tumor, the primary tumor become highly angiogenic, and there's some cells from the primary tumor enter into the circulation, and they travel in the circulation, exit the circulation, form a micrometastatic colony, which eventually develops into a secondary tumor, which again seeds this process, or this process continues. So if you look in a normal tissue, such as in this case, I'm just showing a breast, and you see the duct, and the cells in the duct are beautifully aligned, and they're all attached with one another through cell adhesion molecules. Now, if a cell like this gets transformed to become a cancer, again, these cells still attached with one another through cell adhesion molecules. Now, most of the primary tumor, they are non-metastatic because they are all attached with one another. Now, in order for these cells to leave the primary site to go to the distant site, they have to undergo this process called epithelial to mesenchymal transition in case of carcinoma. So what does it mean? They have to break the cell adhesion as well as the cell matrix adhesion so that they can break away from the primary site, travel to the distant site, and form a secondary tumor, such metastatic tumor, such as different organs, such as lung, bone, brain, etc. So the reversible EMT process has been proposed to inhibit the EMT process to develop a non-metastatic tumor. So I'll show some data. So while I was in Bob Weinberg lab, two postdocs, now they're all in a different place, they took normal human mammary epithelial cells, put SV40, early region telomerase and RAS, and when they introduced these genes, the cells, the cells become transformed, and if you inject them to the mice, they just form non-metastatic tumor. Makes sense, because these cells still bound to one another through cell adhesion molecules. So, but if you overexpress an EMT-inducing factor in these cells, And if you make the mesenchymal, now they not only become form a tumor, but also they develop metastasis. Here's the data. So here's the human mammary epithelial cells, which I was talking about. In that, if you overexpress a transcription factor, such as FOXC2, now the cells, now not only they look more mesenchymal, and if you introduce them into the mammary fat pad, in this case, and they metastasize to number of organs, including lung, liver, brain, bone. So suggesting that inducing EMT promote metastasis from spontaneous site, in other words, from the mammary fat pad to these different organs. Now, so similarly, can you inhibit EMT and reverse a mesenchymal property into more epithelial and inhibit metastasis? In fact, this study is done a while ago in collaboration with Jing Yang, who is a faculty here at UCSD, that if you take this 4P1 cells, which are known to form primary tumor as well as develop metastasis from mammary fat pad to the lung, in this case, if you inhibit expression of TWIST or FOXC2, and these two are known to induce EMT, you could inhibit their metastatic capacity significantly in both the case. So here is the data where you overexpress either TWIST or FOXC2 in these epithelial cells. They look more mesenchymal, and now these factors, inhibition of these factors in a highly metastatic cell inhibits their metastatic capacities. So the metastatic process is quite complex, and in fact, the cell leaving the primary site carries the information such that it is capable of recapitulating the tumor just like a primary tumor at the distant site. So in other words, a primary tumor recreates a tumor histopathologically similar to the primary tumor. So we know that that information is mostly carried by stem cells. So one question one could ask, are the cells leaving the primary site, do they carry stem cell information? Or does this EMT process induce stem cell properties to the cells leaving the primary site so that the tumor could go and recreate tumor just like a primary tumor? So in fact, through a number of studies, what we found is that when you take an epithelial cell, induce them to undergo EMT by expressing either SNAIL or TWIST or a TGF-beta1, the cells appear mesenchymal, but also they become like stem cells. So the 44 high, 24 low, which is the markers used to isolate normal stem cells as well as cancer stem cells by Michael Clark and a number of others. Now, when you use the same marker, these cells, upon undergoing EMT, they become mesenchymal as well as stem-like cells or acquire a number of these stem cell properties. So we could, in fact, inject these cells, the one which has undergone an EMT, into mouse, into the mice mammary fat pad, and what you see is even with 1,000 cells, these cells are capable of forming tumor efficiently compared to the control cells where you need close to 1,000,000 cells to form an efficient tumor. So if these cells are, these are human mammary epithelial cells induced to undergo EMT by expressing either SNAIL or TWIST or Guscoid, and they appear mesenchymal, and they have a number of these stem cell properties. So one question we asked, do they have any similarity to mesenchymal stem cells, which are known to differentiate into different lineage, including osteoblast, adipocytes, and chondrocytes, which was in the previous talk we heard. So here is a human bone marrow-derived mesenchymal stem cells. They are all CD140B high, and they are CD44 high and 24 low relative to human mammary epithelial cells, and they're all CD45 negative. Now, when you induce these human mammary epithelial cells to become mesenchymal, you see they're also CD140B high. CD140B is the is PDGF receptor beta. Now, that's a marker used to isolate bone marrow-derived mesenchymal stem cells. So in other words, the human mammary epithelial cells, upon undergoing EMT, they not only become 44 high, 24 low, but also CD140B high. So based on that, we hypothesized that maybe it's known that human bone marrow-derived mesenchymal stem cells are known to differentiate into osteoblast. This is an osteoblastic differentiation assay assessed by alkaline phosphatase staining or alizarin red staining or Wancosa staining. So they beautifully differentiate into osteoblast. Now, if you take these human mammary epithelial cells, and upon undergoing EMT, even these cells are capable of differentiating into osteoblastic lineage. So again, these are human mammary epithelial cells. Upon undergoing EMT, they acquire this capacity. So here is two other lineage differentiation capacity here. We are looking at adipocytes. You could see the mesenchymal stem cells differentiate into adipocytes. Also the cells which has undergone an EMT, they are also capable of undergoing differentiating into adipocytes. It's not as efficient as MSE, but to some extent, they are also capable of differentiating. And if you take the same cells and subject them to chondrocytic differentiation, these cells are also capable of differentiating into chondrocytic lineage, similar to MSE. What it suggests is that overall, the control cells did not form any chondrocytes at all. So what it suggests is that overall, that at stem cells, which are known, which we know that we need to target, this is the Economist cover, the magazine cover, and we know that through EMT, the cancer cells can generate more cancer stem cells. Now we need to, by inhibiting the EMT process or EMT pathways, one could target these cancer stem cells. Now these cancer stem cells are responsible for tumor progression, resistant to therapy and metastasis. Now, while we are doing this analysis, and Jeff Rosen and Jenny Chang, they published a paper, and also now it's done in a number of groups, that when the cells, the residual tumor cells following conventional chemotherapy, they also display mesenchymal as well as stem cell properties. In other words, the cells which are resistant to therapy, they're also more mesenchymal as well as they display stem cell properties. So that means, so not only through EMT the tumor could make more cancer stem cells, but also conventional therapy can also stimulate generation of more cancer stem cells. So we need to, so in my lab, we are trying to understand this process, and we are trying to inhibit the EMT process. We are trying to see whether we could reverse the EMT process, and we are also trying to profile them at globally. Is there any epigenetic changes, microRNA, mRNA changes? And we are also developing a mouse model. We are also purifying circulating tumor cells, because the cells, when they leave the primary site, they carry this information, such as mesenchymal and stem cell properties. You isolate circulating tumor cells and characterize them. So one part which I'm going to discuss in the next few minutes is that how to target these cancer stem cells using small molecules. So this work is done in collaboration with Dr. Peter Schulz, and mostly led by Luke, and most of the work is done by Mike here at Scripps. So what Mike did, took these human mammary epithelial cells, these human mammary epithelial cells, which are highly tumorigenic after undergoing EMT, and they're also highly metastatic, and they metastasize to a number of organs, including brain. So he took these cells and performed a high-throughput screening for looking for agents which could reverse this mesenchymal behavior into epithelial. So he performed a small molecule screen in that he looked for re-expression of E-keragrin and inhibition of Vimentin, but that did not work. Rather, he used cell death assay to look for agents which could preferentially kill the FOXC2 expressing cells, but not the control cells. So he, by screening 650,000 compounds, he pulled out 7 which had preferential cell killing activity, or preferential killing of these cells which have undergone an EMT, compared to compared to transformed cells but not undergone an EMT, or non-transformed cells. So this is, so we got these 7 compounds in my lab at MD Anderson. So Mika, he took these 7 compounds and he characterized them to make sure that he could reproduce those results. In fact, he could reproduce them that the cells undergone an EMT are expressing FOXC2. They are known to be resistant to doxorubicin, and these are also another cell line which has endogenous FOXC2. They're also resistant to doxorubicin. Now, when you expose them to this compound which just came out of the screen, one of the compound I'm going to show more data, which is 0461, you could see that the same cells, now they are sensitive to 0461 compared to doxorubicin, there these cells are resistant to doxorubicin. So the striking thing which was we observed is that the screen was done looking for agents which could preferentially kill cells undergone an EMT compared to non-epithelial cells. But when he added this compound into the cells, you see the cells appear more mesenchymal, spindle, and elongated. As soon as he added this compound, the cells change the shape from mesenchymal into epithelial, which was quite surprising. And out of 7, 4 compounds reversed mesenchymal properties into more epithelial properties. And this is quite high concentration, 2.5 micromolar. So he could go up to 0.5 micromolar. You still see reversion of this mesenchymal to epithelial properties. So the even more dramatic is that when he did a time course, he could see change in mesenchymal to epithelial transition within 6 hours, which is, we really don't know how it is working. Luke and Mike, they're trying to find the target for this compound as well as the toxicity. So hopefully we will have more information for these compound very soon. So here there's multiple cells in this one, FOXC2 expressing cells, overexpressing cells, FOXC2 endogenously expressing cells. This is also, these cells also do express FOXC2, but they express endogenous FOXC2, not overexpressed. This is another cell line. In most of the case, you do see similar reversion. So there's an assay called mammosphere assay, which is a kind of stem cell assay used to quantify stem cell properties. And you can expose these cells to this compound, and this compound reduces spear formation in number of cell system. And the dramatic part is when he exposed these cells to the compound in regular culture and subject them to spear assay in the absence of the compound, to measure for killing of stem cells in a 2D assay, in fact, you could see that pretreatment is sufficient to reduce the spear formation from almost 25 to 2. So indicating that exposing cells or stem cells to this compound inhibits their spear forming ability. So he also performed a wound assay in that you make a wound and allow them to heal the wound, and here is a control cells. When you do the same assay for the cells which are treated with this compound, and they did not close the wound at all. So here is something, a structure which he highlighted, and that remained for many hours, that those cells did not move at all. They just become epithelial and they are stuck. And here is a wound closure assay. So right now we are trying to, the genes capable of inducing EMT are necessary and sufficient to promote spontaneous metastasis. Again, I'm using the word spontaneous metastasis because in most of the studies, people do inject cells directly into the circulation and study metastasis. That's called experimental metastasis. Here, what we are talking about is tumor cells leaving the primary tumor site and metastasizing to the secondary site, the complete cascade. So in the induction of EMT results in acquisition of stem cell properties, and we have identified small molecules capable of inhibiting EMT, and we are in the process of characterizing them for their effect on primary tumor formation, metastasis, and therapy resistance. We are trying to do that experiment either alone or in combination with other standard of care therapies. So this is my group. Most of the work I described now is done by Mika, and this work, again, done in collaboration with this number of people, particularly here, Mike, Luke, as well as Pete and Bonnie. So thank you all.
Got a little started a little late, so we have time for a few questions for Manny if we have any. Up front. Yeah.
Very interesting. Is it a true reversion to an epithelial phenotype, or is it just the loss of a mesenchymal phenotype? I mean, do you see epithelial junctions forming and so on? And is it something that might be more just like a loss of microtubule function, or something that would keep the cells from wandering around?
It's a good point. So we don't see re-expression of E. carrageenan, for example, and the cells become flattened, and then they start forming this cell adhesion, but it's not mediated by E. carrageenan. Probably some other carrageenan maybe mediating that. But again, it happens within 6 hours. So that's where it is. The time is not sufficient for it to complete the entire like a re-expression of E. carrigan and recreating the cell solidation. Most likely, something actin cytoskeletal machinery is getting affected. So probably Luke will tell us what is the target of these compounds, so we will understand that better. Thank you.
Another question up top here.
So with respect to the first part, you are asking, did we ever do an experiment from epithelial to mesenchymal to epithelial?
I'm asking if you've ever looked for true stem cell markers without stopping at the mesenchymal stage.
Stem cell marker, yes, such as OCT4, NanoOx, OX. Is that exactly. We have looked for them, and there are some markers they are induced following EMT. But not all four, because we know that even in ARC4, once you induce them to become an IPS, some of these genes are turned off, even though ARC4 is necessary, for example, to induce IPS. But then once cells become IPS, the expression is lost. So similarly here, there are some of these factors are induced, but not all of them. And these are not IPS cells. And these are probably adult stem cells. And they are acquiring some aspect of stem cell properties. They are not like an iPS cells, the cells which are induced to undergo EMT.
So then you have markers of differentiation.
Markers of differentiation. So the most of the marker what we looked is associated with differentiation of these cells into mesenchymal, into these osteoblastic adipocytic lineage, not other markers.
So multiple lineages downstream of a putative MSC-like cell.
That's right.
Right. Yeah. Maybe we have time for one more question if we have it. Okay. If not, thanks very much, man. Or did you want?
Luke, thank you very much. Thank you, Manny.